we probably need to do the fruits of the Spirit too.
Sure. I just have one prayer request. Pray for Robert Nunez, who is having some tests ran this week on his heart.
Okay.
And I know Miss Tina's got one over there too.
I have a classmate named Jeff Poole. He was a firefighter here in Elk City for a while, and he had to go on dialysis, so he had to retire from firefighting. But he got a new kidney on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So we want to pray for a speedy recovery for him, and that his body won't reject it and he'll accept it and all of the things. And then I wrote down
And his name is Jeff?
Jeff Poole.
Jeff Poole. Okay. That's cool. Praise God. And then your request again was?
Robert, who's having some heart tests done this
today.
Okay. I think he's having them done tomorrow.
Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today because you are still Lord. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find, and knock and it will be opened to you. Whosoever asks receives, and whoever seeks finds, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. So, Father, we ask and we seek and we knock. We bring these two to you, Father. We pray, Lord, for Robert and his test that's coming up, Lord. Father, that you will touch him, be with him in this. May they be able to locate the exact issue. And then not only locate it, but Lord, would you heal him if there are issues there? If he has issues with his heart, would you bring healing to him, oh God? Would you move and be with him and let him know that your presence is with him, Lord? Would you be, Lord, with Jeff, Father, as he heals? And thank you for this kidney. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that his body will accept it. That he, God, will be able to resume his life. God, that he will be able, Lord, to know your hand is in it and is your gift of life to him, Lord. Strengthen him, encourage him, help his body to heal, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy. And you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, words.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Sister Judy Gifford Parker. Her title for this morning is God is Sufficient. You know, I was reading Acts this morning where Saul, who was renamed Paul, mm-hmm. and he was he had sailed over, and they had took him into custody, and he was talking, and then that's when he was talking. He was telling them, and this is what's beautiful to me. God is so graceful that a man who was killing followers of Christ, he was killing them, hunting them down, but God still loved him enough to want that relationship with him. And he was blinded and then regained his sight and then became a major player. I mean, a major follower of Christ, you know.
He had all the things, qualities in there that God needed. You know, he was tenacious for his religion. He was focused. He was determined. I mean, to the point of he didn't care. He'd kill those Christians if they didn't line up. But God flipped that and totally used all those characteristics in him for the kingdom. He's tenacious. He's going after. He's going after the truth. And whatever it took, even if his own life was given, you know, he was willing. So God saw that in him and turned it for good.
I read Acts 21, and I couldn't stop there. I had to go on to 22. Yeah. But I was thinking as you was talking about grace, you know, God's grace is sufficient.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How much more do you need to understand God's grace?
Right.
And how he so desires, no matter if you are a human being, flesh and blood, and you have breath, he wants a relationship with you. He so desires that right relationship.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you were, who you are, what you've done, where you've been, he wants that. And it's his grace that is sufficient for you. His grace moves and changes. His Holy Spirit is what, and that's something for me that he, and it's like, okay, Lord, TikTok, you know, when? Tapping my foot. You know, it's not my timing. It's his timing. And it is the Holy Spirit that changes people. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it is he that lives in you that brings up the things. And it is he that puts the desire to change within you. And then it's his grace and his mercy that sees you through it.
Yes.
But if you don't believe it, you ain't going to get it.
Right.
Just believe it. Make up your mind.
Right.
To read it. And before you even open it to read the Word of God, make up your mind. Everything I read is truth.
It's truth.
It's the truth.
And it's for me.
Whether I like it or not, this is the truth. Lord, help it be my truth. Help me get in line with your word.
Right. Amen. I love that part about timing because everybody so prayed for me. And they prayed for me last night in such precious ways. And I just have to trust the Lord in his timing. In his timing, it will be done. Talking about the works of the flesh aren't necessarily fun because sometimes we can find ourselves in there.
Girl, I've been wrestling. I'm telling you what. Monica been in a wrestling match. Well, Monica, can you tell?
But we do have to get a hold of ourselves sometimes by the nape of the neck and go, wait, 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 wait.
Yep.
correct this, Judy. Get this correct. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is that he will search our hearts for us. And particularly when we mm-hmm. open up to him and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Help me to see any wicked way in me, because that's what the psalmist said. And cleanse me from it. And then someone picked it up and wrote a song about it. Search me, O God, mm-hmm. and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. It's just a sweet little consecration song to say, Lord, I open to you, and if there's any wicked way in me, cleanse me. I like one lady told me, she said, I check myself several times a day and just say, Lord, if I've said anything, if I've done anything. And you know we're human, so we're going to. And I know his grace, his sufficiency mm-hmm. covers those things. If we died, I believe if we died in a moment of where we said something we shouldn't, or weakness, is not going to send us to hell. God's sufficiency is over that. But he is perfecting us. He mm-hmm. is bringing us into his likeness. So he works on those things within us. And he knows we have that nature. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a nature from Adam that we receive. But Bible talks about sanctification. So at salvation, at the new birth, you are sanctified, you're mm-hmm. purified. But there's things that's happened in our lives that he wants us to, it may not be his best for us, so he's trying to bring us and cause us to turn loose of that. Mm-hmm. You know, turn loose of that. You don't need that. But I needed that. No, you don't need that. Trust mm-hmm. me. You know, and we just have to learn how to drop that and let that, as he perfects us. And sometimes he would just tap us, you know, like he did when I was really mad at the lady who lied against me. You know, he tapped me. You hate her, don't you, Judy? But that's the Holy Spirit probing what mm-hmm. needed to be corrected in me. She had done me wrong, but how sad it would have been if I go my whole life carrying that bad feeling. What would that have stunted my growth? What would that have stunted and kept me from doing for God with that in me? And so what he wasn't trying to get me, just, oh, it was nothing. Yeah, well, she did me wrong. But if I carried that, it was going to hurt me, not her. And so I needed to come to a place. And so my surrender for that was, Lord, I do, but I don't want to. Who wants to carry that? Yep. Those are bad feelings. Mm-hmm. Who wants to carry mm-hmm. bad feelings all around? Lord, I don't want it. Would you take it for me? And would you give me love in my heart for her? And his grace was sufficient for me there. And it reached down. I literally took a bad feeling away and replaced it with love. It just shocked me. Mm-hmm. And I ran up to her the next time I saw her. And instead of seeing her with the problem in the way, I saw her as her, as Jesus saw her, really, in my eyes. And I loved her. And they came later in life to different functions of my children and stuff. And I was able to still love. So anyway, amen. Let me finish these up real quick. This is fits of rage. We said that. And then selfish ambition, which is seeking of power, in 2 Corinthians 11:20 and Philippians 1:6-17. Number 11 is dissensions, which is introducing divisive teachings not supported by the word of God, Romans 16:17. And 12 is fractions, divisions within the congregation, selfish groups or cliques that destroy the unity of the church, 1 Corinthians 11:19. 13 says envy, resentful dislike of another person who has something that one desires. You know, we can look at people that have more than I. But, you know, if we have the right mm-hmm. attitude, you can be like the guy that says, I'm a poor, poor rich man. I'm a poor, poor rich man. Don't you see it really happened to me? I'm a millionaire. Well, I know that I'm poor, but I got a lot more than many folks that I know. I got a mansion in the sky. And money can't buy. I'm a poor, poor rich man. You know, we can have that attitude. We can be so happy with little or happy with much. And I have seen actually children stand beside each other and get the same gift, and one just like not interested, and the other's like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what? It's the difference of our mind mm-hmm. in our heart, and we can walk on and go, somebody can have a lot more than us. So what? That's not what creates happiness. Mm-mm. That's not, you know, content with your life, content knowing that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven, and watching God provide for you. What excitement that is. A Christian has an exciting life. Doesn't matter if you have a little bit or a lot. If you have a little bit, you love watching God bring it in. There are times that stressing, are you going to do it this time? Who are you going to do it from? Who are you going to do it through, Lord? What are you going to do? You know, like Brent had that $300 he needed the next morning. And they, people had called and said, we want this money tomorrow. We're suing you. And so he's like, God, I've got to have this money. And they were pastoring a little bitty church down in Carnegie, making not even $500 a month, and somehow had a bill that they had not realized. And then they called and threatened them. And he said, God, I need this money tomorrow. And so they started looking through the house and through the car and through the cat cushions and the pig kids' piggy bank, and they came up with $5. That's how much money they had. They had to grow a garden. I think, I wish I had known. As we were pastoring a church, we could have helped them. But I think the Lord wanted to train them. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't see their need because they needed to depend on God and not us. But God came through every time for them. But this time, he said, what do you do when you have $5 and you need $300 and all you have is $5? You go get snow cones. Mm-hmm. So they went to the park and got the kids a 50-cent snow cone, you know, and came back, and there was $300 stuck in their door. They had a door that had a little screen door on it, and they stuck it in that screen door. He asked everybody he knew about that money, and nobody knew where that. No, we didn't do it. No, we didn't do it. And a lot of people knew couldn't do it that they knew. And one day he was in the Pizza Hut across the street from the church. And a man called him over, and he said, did you find some money in your door? He said, that was you. And he said, yeah, God been talking to me about that for 6 months. God been talking to me. And he said, that day, he hounded me all day long until I said, okay. And he said, I went over and got that money and stuck it in there. And he said, you'll never know what that meant to us. And so God is sufficient. Whatever our need is, he started 6 months. He said, well, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir. But he said, well, why don't you come to our church? He said, well, I'm a trucker and I'm gone all the time. But I knew I'd been needed to pay some tithe and God been on me. And so he brought it over to him. But his grace is sufficient. I'm almost through here. I think it's time to go, isn't it? There's such a thing as, I said, fractions and envy. Mm-hmm. And then there's drunkenness. And if you're caught in that, there's a way out. Don't think there's not a way out. Neither Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We condemn people when their sin is caught up with them and hooked them and they can't get loose. But Jesus doesn't. He just says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will deliver you. I know one guy that was so hooked on alcohol. He lived in a dugout, he and his wife, actually. His brother-in-law was a preacher, and he said, I picked up the phone one night. Brother Art was his name, Brother Art Wareheim. He picked up a phone one night, and he said, get out here. He said, church was going on, but he said, get out here. If you ever want to see me saved, get out here now. God had been dealing with him, and they got out to his house and prayed that boy through to victory. But he said after that, I mean, he got in church. He taught one of our classes. It was where we pastored in Colorado. And he said, but I would step outside, and the beer joint was miles away from me, and I literally could smell alcohol, how hard the enemy fought him. But do you know he was faithful? He got past that. There will come a time in your life as God's dealing with you, give it up to him, and he will give you the power. He's the one that gives us the power to become children of God in the first place. Amen. We don't have the power to become into God's kingdom. What do? We listen to his call. And when he calls us, we say, yes, Lord. And we go to him. And we trust him.
Oops.
We trust him.
We do.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
We have one more prayer request that came in from Miss Neva.
Okay.
She said, Joe is having knee replacement surgery tomorrow. They don't have a time yet.
Okay. All right. Well, Joe is a miracle. And Neva has amazed me with her faith and tenacious holding on. So, Neva, you start working with me, with God. And we'll hang on together. But how could Joe not be protected through this? And how could he not make it with Neva by his side? You know, and praying and everybody praying. The Bible says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. So no telling how he probably outlived Neva. She'd pray him right through everything, you know. Father, we come to you today so thankful that you do hear and answer our prayer, that you are a gracious Lord. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that you hear and you answer. And we pray for Joe. We just ask that you'll be with him, Lord, as he goes into surgery, that you'll protect him, Lord, and with the anesthesiologist, God, and everybody that has any part in this surgery, that the doctors will do the right thing, that it will go easy, that there'll be no complications or problems, that you will be with Joe, that you will help his blood pressure and all of the things, God, of his body to stay in proper sync, God, and Lord, that he just make it through this fine, heal easily, and God, be back up serving you. Thank you, God, for Neva and for Joe. Protect them today. Be with him in surgery, and we give you praise for it. We expect an answer because you're a faithful God. Amen and amen. Amen. And then let's finish this. Talk about drunken. And this last one here mentions orgies, and it says excessive feasting and rivalry, revelry. How do you say that? And a party spirit involving alcohol, drugs, sex, or the like. So it's more than just sex. It's just just that party, a party spirit, a party attitude. But those are works of the flesh, which means we can be victorious over them because Jesus was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He was victorious over all the works of the flesh. He did not, of course, we know he was virgin born, but we know he went through the horrible temptation. I think it's a bigger thing to overcome a temptation when somebody is coming at you as a friend. They're coming at you as, I can do something for you if you'll listen to me. I can really help you with those lies. As Eve, you know, I just want something good for you. But God, you know what? He wants something bad for you. He just, you know, and he's coming up with these lies like he's a friend. We need to run from him as though he's a wicked snake, which is what he was, trying to talk to us because his point is destruction. And we need to go, you know what? And I'm trusting Jesus. I'm putting this down. I don't care what it looks like. I'm greater as he that's in me. When the enemy comes at you like a flood, I mean, when he comes at you with a roar, well, you know at least who your enemy is. When he comes with deception, there's confusion at who your enemy is. And that's why even the last days, doctrines of devils, we have to be very careful because they come as angels of light. They come as angels of enlightenment to enlighten you, on this new thing. Hey, be real careful with that. You go back to the Bible. I don't care what people say. And if there's another Bible and another word, run from it. Get away from the extra Bibles out there. Get into the Word of God that's written. Another thing I want to say here. Do not equate God's Word. And for those Pentecostal people out here who we do know, there's tongues and interpretation and there is prophecy. And it is a wonderful gift God gave the church. But do not equate the written Word of God with a word of prophecy. There's no comparison. The Word of God is settled in heaven. You can be, because you are human, people can be fallible and wrong. They can be actually used of the devil.
Yes.
Every thought you think is not from God. It's not. You have your own mind. Your own mind thinks. You have your... you have God thought, will insert a God thought sometimes, many times. God will direct you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. But not every thought you have is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Very seldom do I think that the Holy Spirit will tell people, wear the pink dress today. Wear that pink shirt today. A lot of things he leaves to your own intelligence, your own discretion. your own stuff. Quit being Christian. Quit being so super spiritual, because the devil will take advantage of that, and you will get some confusion. And if God's speaking, or am I speaking? Is it my spirit speaking to me? Or am my own imagination speaking? Or is it the devil speaking? Mm-hmm. Because the devil will come in as an angel of light with many good things to say. But I can't express, and I probably don't even know, the importance of getting a firm foundation into the Word of God. I was thinking, if we're going to teach something, if you're going to become a school teacher like Mackenzie did, you know how long she had to study to become a school teacher? Mm. She teaches several subjects. Some people just teach one subject. But she had to go through kindergarten, through elementary school, through junior high, through high school, through at least 4 years of college to have the right and the knowledge to stand in front of those children and teach them firm foundations that they're going to need in their education as they're growing older. How can we as Christians not think that we need to study God's Word, that we need to listen to other people who have studied God's Word, who have gotten into God's Word? And why would we think that we don't need that? And I know sometimes I've been guilty of not being in the Word as much as I need to be in the Word. But, hey, if we're going to stand and tell other people, we've got to know what it says. Mm-hmm. We've got to know, and so that we can't be deceived and not just go by any flighty thing that comes to our mind and think, oh, God spoke. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't, and maybe the devil spoke. So how am I going to know the difference? I'm going to go back to this Word. I'm going to judge everything by it, and then I'm going to seek God. I'm going to ask, was that from you or was it not? Also, be careful with fleeces. Be careful with fleeces. You know, one lady said she was into reading romantic novels, but she kind of got convicted about it. Mm-hmm. And so this is years ago, and she said, so I asked the Lord if it wasn't his will for me to read romantic novels. You got to go, don't you?
No, you're good.
Okay. That he would let the sink in the morning without a stopper in the sink be filled up with water in the morning if it's not your will for me to read those books. See, that's way off base. What did she need to know? She needed to go back to the Word of God that says keep your mind pure. What purity. She needed to go back to the Word of God and say, well, this is what God's Word says about it. So we need, Christians, it's just real important that we know God is sufficient, but we need to get a hold of the works of the flesh in our life and realize, sometimes we don't even realize it's the enemy working in our lives. And we're angry at people, we're upset, we're this or that, and we realize, wait, I need to go back and go simply to that simple scripture that says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And cleanse me. Well, I can't be wicked. I'm a pastor. I can't be wicked. I teach you something. You got a human nature.
Come on.
And if anybody says the right thing or the wrong thing to you at the right time, that nature's going to show itself. You know what? And many times we just need a little more sanctification, a little more walk with God, and we need to a whole lot more seeking God, amen, including Judy Gifford Parker. Amen? We amen. All do. Amen. I love you, girls.
Love you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
And I think sometimes you have people tell about their church. I'm not the pastor.
Yes, you're welcome.
I do go to the link, and where God is just moving, and I just love the presence of the Lord that's there. I look forward to Sundays where the presence of the Lord is. But I also go to the nursing home on Thursday mornings. I told them, I'm beginning to look forward to coming to see you guys down here, because I always feel the presence of the Lord when I'm up there talking to those people. But I just want to leave this word with everyone. Seek Jesus. Find your church home. If one of them don't work for you, go for another one. Find where you fit and get into it. Help. Be a blessing. Don't talk about the pastor. Don't talk about the people. Love them. If you can't love them, find a place where you can love them. And walk with God, because he's coming soon. And he will give you joy and gladness. And the song says, take away sin and sadness. So all the world needs is Jesus. So get in, serve God, and look forward. He's coming soon.
Amen.
Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, y'all. And it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Judy Gifford Parker. Y'all have a blessed day. I just love saying that.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm just so happy for you.
God has good surprises for us, doesn't
Amen.
He?
Amen. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.